climb in and hold on tight, KID crew. It's time for the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota on KID News Radio 92.1 and 106.3, online at KIDNewsRadio.com.
Hey, KID crew, it is a Thought Leader Thursday here, and of course, the big topic is the fact that we are inching closer to decision day. It is right around the corner, and strategy is certainly the name of the game. We've got a lot to talk about today. Before we get to all of that, let me take a moment and remind you that our sleeping bag donation drive is underway. We are holding this drive to support the great efforts of the Idaho Falls Rescue Mission. It's all about making sure that nobody in our community is left out in the cold with no way to keep warm. So you can drop those donations off right here at 1406 Commerce Way, the Rich Media headquarters. And also our friends at Apple have stepped up. Club Apple has a donation drop right there. So as you go to work out, you can take your new or gently used sleeping bags and blankets, and I promise you they will go to good use. They really will be a game changer. All right, we're going to get right down to the business on this Thought Leader Thursday of meeting our Thought Leader Thursday panel. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Cecile Perez, and I am running for the legislature in District 32, and I live, work, and play in Idaho Falls.
Thank you, Cecile.
My name is Ben Furman, and I'm a certified financial planner here in town, and hail from Shelley, and running also for the legislature, District 30 CP.
All right.
All right, and Lisa Burtonshaw, I am on the Idaho Falls City Council. I do not have an election in this cycle, but I'm obviously very interested in all of Jolynn's conversations. She's excited to be here.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you all so much for being here. We have been talking quite a bit about that ugly video that has surfaced of an attack that happened in the halls of Rigby High School. We've talked about it, but I want to bring it up and give our panel a chance to weigh in. The video is on our Facebook page, and we've received a lot of comments, and I've shared many of those comments. But I want to get the perspective of our thought leaders today on where we go from here. So we will start right here with Lisa. Lisa, the fact that there were so many students standing around, not really fazed by the level of aggression and anger and violence, it hit me hard. And that's one of the things I've been hearing a lot from people is, how could that happen?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is obviously kind of coming out new, right, that that this has happened, but she was so physically beaten down. I can't imagine her emotional state to have her peers standing around. You just expect that someone is going to step in. And I think the disappointment that she must feel and the fear that that must be running through her, or, you know, and her contemporaries. It's like, someone else could do this to me.
Right.
Right? That all of a sudden they see nobody's going to stand up for you.
And that is a really harsh wake-up call, isn't it? And I'm so glad you brought that up, Lisa, because as I talked with this young woman's aunt, that was one of the things that she said. I mean, the physical wounds are going to heal a lot faster than those emotional wounds. And really, to just watch people not be fazed, I think it's forcing all of us to say, you know what, whether we want to admit it or not, young people are being desensitized and violence is being normalized. And it appeared in that video that kids were more interested that perhaps they could go viral with something like that than they were in helping. Ben, how about you? As you look at this big picture, what comes to mind for you?
Yeah, there's a lot of things I think that this brings out and makes us think about. I mean, I don't think any of us are strangers to fighting in schools, right?
Right.
When I was in elementary school, some of my buddies who are best friends now, but we would get on the playground, we'd playing soccer, playing football, and you'd fight because you didn't like what the other one did. But it was never this attacking. It was never this, you know, a person who is not ready to defend themselves being attacked. And then to have kids just standing around watching it, I think that we live in a society where people are so afraid of getting in trouble that they won't step up and do the right thing because the result of getting in trouble is worse. And so we live in this world of just leave it alone. It's not my job, not my place. I'm not going to mess with it. And I think that a lot of our kids feel that way. Another thing that comes to mind is I remember in junior high, we started these no tolerance rules, mm-hmm. right? And if you came to school and you did anything wrong, it was the hammer was dropped. There was zero room for any kind of exceptions or the circumstance being considered. It was just zero tolerance. And I think kids are afraid because if they step into that and try to help, I wonder how many of them are thinking, well, then I'm going to get in trouble for fighting.
That's such a great point, Ben, because yes, I mean, even the young woman didn't fight back at all. And I think it was really clear to her that even though she didn't start this, if she's seen in some way throwing a punch back, then she might be drawn in. And a lot of it does come down to that zero tolerance policy, which is meant to really be effective. But I think we're at a point where we have got to really come up with some ideas on how we're going to deal with what's right in front of us. Cecile, as you think about the impact of what we saw on that video, what's your takeaway?
I really want to echo what has been said about the far-reaching negative effects this could have on the victim and on the peers that were watching that might feel like that could happen to me and no one will stand up for me. But something that comes to mind for me is that if we want things to be different, we are the best model for our kids. And if we are showing how to stand up for others and that we care about respecting others, that we can be that example for them. If at home we have a loving and respectful household for everyone in the family, we can teach them to see the value of human beings in themselves and others.
So true. And as you said that, Cecile, I kind of thought about that quote by Gandhi, be the change you wish to see in the world. And I think that's some really straightforward advice that never goes out of style. We're getting close to a break. So I want to just give each of you a quick chance to just maybe 10 seconds. Where do we go from here? We'll start with you, Ben.
Well, I think like Cecile said, it starts in the home. I mean, when I first saw this video, I thought I'm going to talk to my kids about this situation and prepare them in case it were to happen to them or they found themselves watching it. And I think we need to start teaching our kids a little better in our homes.
You're so right. A very teachable moment has been provided because of this. Lisa, how about you?
So I think that we are in a generation as parents that we don't understand the impact of social media. We understand the negative impact of social media, but we don't recognize what it does to our children when they're witnesses as well. I think that that's kind of an interesting point there is we have to become better consumers of social media ourselves. If we're watching this kind of stuff at home, we're not creating the right atmosphere in our homes.
Absolutely. And we are getting close to a break, but Cecile, how about you? Final thoughts on this?
Yeah, so I want to have hope in the next generation and believe that they can do what's right in the face of what the majority may be doing that's wrong.
So true. That's what we need to look to. We'll be back.
Climb in and hold on tight, KID crew, because we are driving the conversation. It's time for the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota on KID News Radio 92.1 and 106.3.
Hey, KID crew, I have a wonderful Thought Leader Thursday panel in studio. We've got Cecile Perez, Ben Furman, Lisa Burtonshaw. And before the break, we were talking about the fact that this younger generation has sort of been desensitized to violence. They don't seem to have the same reaction. And during the commercial break, let me tell you, there's always some good stuff that happens in the commercial break. Ben brought up this book, The Anxious Generation. I've heard about it. I have not read it yet. So, Ben, let's pick up right there. What have you gotten from that book?
I'm currently listening to it on Audible. That's how I take in most of my books. It just really focuses on how society has changed in the way that we've raised our children. And we've gone from the play generation where it was, you know, go outside, don't come home till the lights come on, mm-hmm. the street lights, to where it's all driven by technology now. And mostly the changes happened when social media, 2007, 2008, and the smartphones came to be. And it really does show the emphasis, like Lisa was talking about, how the focus is no longer about, families. It's about content and mm-hmm. clicks and viral moments.
And you don't really get a break. I mean, bullying is a tale as old as time. I think everybody has at some moment through school felt a little bit offended or hurt or left out. But here's the difference. If we didn't get invited to a party, we may have known it, but we didn't see the whole party live streamed, and we didn't see exactly what we were missing. And I think that does mess with these kids' brains, and so often we forget we're dealing with underdeveloped brains. Even at 18, a brain is not fully developed. Lisa, what about you? I know you mentioned in the break as well that you're kind of fascinated by this book.
Well, part of this anxious generation is that they are also not growing up as fast.
Right.
They're staying, you know, I couldn't wait to get my driver's license, right? That offered a freedom. I couldn't wait for certain mile markers in my life. But because of the anxiety, they're not launching. Mm-hmm. They don't want to launch. It's fearful. The world is fearful to them because of this anxiety. And so they're delaying their launch and they're just not kind of making those same mile markers. So I'm not bagging on that generation. I think there's just so much more to understand.
I think that's true. If we hope to make some progress, we've got to lean in with curiosity and understand the impact a little bit more than we do right now. Cecile, how about for you?
Yeah. So what comes to mind? I think that there's a lot of weight on young people's shoulders. And I could see how they would get anxious about the future and feel less optimistic about the future. And maybe that could lead to behavior that, like, you know, filming fights at school mm-hmm. and not stepping in to help. But I can't help but keep thinking to myself, there are some great kids out there.
Oh, like, no doubt.
And we can have hope in that younger generation as well. It's unfortunate when things like this happen, and it's definitely something we should learn from, but I want to try and come from the other side of it where, you know, this generation, sometimes the kids are all right, you know?
Oh, there are a lot, and I think there are more that are all right, but I think they are facing a pretty heavy burden, and, you know, they are exposed to things that are not meant for tiny shoulders. Even at really young ages, you think about what a 6 or 7 year old is able to see thanks to social media. And if they don't have a phone, guess what? Their friends probably do. So it's really hard for parents, I think, to isolate their kids from all of that. I want to shift gears just a little bit. Cancel culture is real, and I think we've hit on the fact that sometimes that prevents people from really wanting to speak out. The crisis at the border has been a big topic, and of course, what's going on in Aurora, Colorado, a small, nice community, and we've seen those images of an alleged Venezuelan gang walking the halls armed, and tenants there feeling very nervous. And then, of course, I recently reported that an employee was beat up by this alleged gang because he wouldn't accept a bribe to keep quiet. And now the latest on this is that you may remember that council member Danielle Jarinski has been very outspoken and taken a lot of heat from the mayor, the chief of police, and now she has documents saying They knew about this for a year, and they were downplaying it. How do we get a handle on the crime and those things? How do we find the courage to face that topic? Ben, let's begin with you.
I don't know the answer, honestly. When I think about what our country was built upon and the immigration that my ancestors came here for, it was to get a better life, which I think a lot of immigrants are looking for that. But it was to come here and be part of this new, you know, this new country, this new experiment. And I feel like too many people are coming to America because they just want more money.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really care about culture. They don't care about their family. They just want more money. And I know there are a lot of immigrants who kind of regret coming because they're away from their families. They're away from the culture that they know. They're thrown into this world of America, which they don't understand. They don't speak the language. And it's hard for them. As human beings, it's hard for them. And a lot of the immigrants coming as well are not families that we're experiencing right now. They're single men who are being sent here to cause problems. And I think that that is a big part of it. I don't know what the one fix, what the one answer is, but I do think that we need to start to have some courageous leaders who can put their foot down and say enough is enough. And these are the rules and you're going to follow it. And I'm sorry, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, we've got to have the tough conversations too. Lisa, how about you?
Okay, so I don't know if this is exactly what you're looking for because it's not specific to immigration, but I have to say that here in Bonneville County and the city of Idaho Falls, we have always supported our police. I think that we are a lucky community that way,
mm-hmm.
versus all of the defund the police. And our police officers are working on community policing, where it's about relationships with people. And when you establish those relationships, then citizens should feel confident that when they tell the police something, that there will be this back and forth and this trust that comes. And so, I hate to use the word shout out, but to Chief Johnson and to Sheriff Sam Holes, they are great men who are doing great things in the community to try and make sure that the community policing and that feel of what Bonneville County is remains.
I absolutely agree. They deserve a shout out. And I think in a lot of respects, we could really be an example for the rest of the country. Cecile, how about you?
Yeah, so I kind of want to pivot because unfortunately, I think these stories are about violence are really upsetting. But at the same time, a report from the Cato Institute says that immigrants, including undocumented immigrants, are less likely to be incarcerated in prisons, convicted of crimes, or arrested than people born in the U.S. And so,
Cecile, can you hold that thought? Because
yes.
We got to get to a break. We're going to pick right up with you. I don't want you to get cut off with our commercial break. Stay right here with us, KID crew. We're keeping this thought leader panel right where they are because there's a lot more to get to. We'll be back.
Climb in and hold on tight, KID crew. It's time for the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota on KID News Radio 92.1 and 106.3, online at KIDNewsRadio.com.
Hey, KID crew, it's Joel and Thomas. So glad to have you along for the show. And that music is getting everyone moving a little bit. We are continuing our Thought Leader Thursday panel discussion because time just flies and there's so much to get to. Right before the break, Cecile Perez was talking about her interpretation of what's gone on with that allegation against a Venezuelan gang taking over an apartment complex in Aurora. It has certainly prompted a lot of intense discussion. So, Cecile, just take it away and pick right up there.
Yeah, I want to say I do think it's really unfortunate that these awful things have happened, but I also do feel like sometimes the media takes a magnifying glass to these things, and unfortunately, it makes immigrants look really bad. And what I was saying before we cut to the break was that according to the Cato Institute, immigrants, including undocumented immigrants, are less likely to be incarcerated in prisons, convicted of crimes or arrested than people who are born in the U.S. And then, I really want to, like, speak to that because I'm a Perez, and people who look like me are the ones that are the focus of some of the stereotypes that come out.
I think it's fantastic that you're pointing that out. And I'll tell you this, those who have done it the right way, and I've interviewed quite a few in studio, and they are really disheartened by those who sneak into the country. And I think it's really important that we don't get so caught up in what we're seeing that we start passing judgment on other individuals. Because, look, this is a specific group of people who have come here with a ill purpose in mind. They're not coming here to grab hold of the American dream, to do things the right way. And I think one of the things that for me stands out about it is that those people who really have that aspiration, they are willing to put the work in, they are willing to do it the right way, and they take pride in doing it the right way. And this is just me, but I have to wonder if those who are sneaking in because perhaps once a magnifying glass was shown upon their record, maybe they wouldn't be able to get in. And so I do think we have to remember America is a melting pot, and immigrants have always made really positive contributions here. So I don't think this is a time for us to not be a welcoming nation, but I do think we have to balance all of that and make sure that we are protecting life here in the United States of America. So thank you, all of you, for weighing in on that topic. It is one that we have definitely heard a lot about. And so many topics have dominated the headlines. And the top one, of course, continues to be the economy. We know that Americans are going to vote with their wallet. This is an election like we've never seen before. We couldn't have written the script, right? So I want to give each of you an opportunity just to kind of talk about what you see with this election cycle, what stands out, and then maybe reflect on something from another election cycle, maybe an attribute that's been lost that we could bring back into focus. Let's start with you, Lisa.
Oh, well. Go down this line again. I'll be a little faster, Cecil, so that you. First and foremost, I think that the American general population is a little tired of the extreme.
Right.
Election cycle to election cycle, we just swing the pendulum further and further. And I think that the uncivilness in the discourse is really something that is magnified stronger and stronger every election cycle. And it's disappointing to me because I think that great ideas get lost in all of that noise.
You're so right. I mean, the mudslinging does not get us closer to our goal of elevating this great nation.
And I'm going to add just one more thing. And then in the middle of the process, they stop governing because
right.
It's just waiting for the next election.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry, I'm
nope.
not taking your time,
that's the
second part of that.
Lisa, that's a really great point. Ben, how about you?
Well, I think it's important for us to put a historical perspective on things. Elections have been nasty since the beginning of elections. I mean, Jefferson and Adams, they went at each other like you wouldn't believe. And so I think that it's nothing new, but what is new is our reaction to the candidates and how they act. So we have come to a point where we put ourselves in tribes. And if you're not in my tribe, then you can't be my friend. And I think that's the biggest difference to me from this campaign cycle and others. And it's hard. It's hard to have conversations with other people because you don't want to lose those friendships. But if you disagree with them on immigration or on, you know, the economy or any topic at all, then you can't be my friend because you don't agree with me. And that's hard to overcome.
I love that you have brought that out, Ben, because I say this all the time. I really believe it. Other people's opinions are not contagious. It's okay to lean in and have a real conversation, and you are not required to co-sign on the dotted line and change your opinion.
We should actually look forward to those conversations,
right,
to learn how other people think and why they think what they do, to be able to become better citizens overall.
I could not agree more. Cecile, how about for you?
Yeah, so I'd like to agree with the rest of the room here that basically we should be able to have discussions. I think some things allow a lot less wiggle room, especially when we're talking about human rights. But when we're talking about practically anything else like roads, taxes, things like that, we can have discussions about these things. And it's really important to have those vibrant and productive discussions on those things.
And I think that one of the things I really want to bring out is that there is some magic that happens when you're engaging in a conversation. And we're in a time, we're going to kind of finish where we started with that whole social media piece. Look, cancel culture is real, and nobody wants to be unfriended or alienated or canceled. And so I think it has shut down a lot of conversation. And that's what this Thought Leader Thursday and our table talk is all about. It's about jump-starting conversations, because I continue to believe that's how we make progress. We're almost out of time. I want to give each of you just an opportunity to, we probably have 20 seconds. Any final thoughts on anything that you want to share? Let's go right here with Cecile.
Okay. Well, thank you everyone for the awesome discussions today, and I'm really glad I got to be here.
Thank you so much, Ben.
It's good. It's nice to have conversations without feeling threatened or worried about what you might say. It's refreshing.
Right. To be able to just be authentic, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And for all of the problems that we might have in our country and in our community, we're okay.
Yes.
We are okay. Don't live in fear. Don't live in fear. Don't bring that anxiety. We're okay. We're going to be okay. We're just going to work on our issues.
I love that, because it reminds me, I'm a big movie fan. It reminds me of a quote from The Hunger Games, and it's right there. The only thing that's stronger than fear is hope. So having these conversations, looking for solutions and common ground, I think that's something that keeps hope alive. Cecile Perez, Ben Furman, Lisa Burtonshaw, thanks for being part of the Thought Leader Thursday panel. I appreciate it. There's a lot more to come, KID crew, and we'll get to it after this.